Our scripture reading now and our sermon is from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting with verse 22. 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, starting with verse 22. What? Do you not have houses in which to eat and drink? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? In this I will not praise you. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the blood and the body of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord, so that we will not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that you will not come together for judgment. The remaining matters I will arrange when I come to you. Pray with me. Father, help us now as we look at your word to be impacted by your truth, to think rightly about it and to apply it rightly in our lives, that we will enjoy you, that we will follow you, that you will be glorified in the ways that we think of you, in the ways that we serve you, in the ways that we love, and in the ways that we serve one another. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look at this passage of Scripture, we see the idea of the Lord's Supper being announced and explained to us, but it's coming on the heels of an argument and a disagreement that had been taking place. Paul starts off in verse 22. He says, What? Do you not have houses in which to eat? Or do you despise the church of God? Don't let the weight of those words go by you. Imagine if I were to come to you and look at you and ask, Do you despise the church? Do you hate the church? Each of us would step back and say, No. How could you even ask that of me? Do you hate the church? Brother, why would you say that? What would make you think that? Well, we look here, and what was going on was the people were coming together for their Lord's Supper and for their worship service, and they were drinking and they were eating, and it seems like they had their special meeting get together, and then afterwards the poor came in, and everything was gone. Everyone else was drunk. Everyone else was full, and the people had not been considered. Paul says, you may have just had your little party. You may have had your little get-together, and you may think it's your right to do so, but then he says, do you hate the church? Do you hate the church? We look at our lives, and we can consider our activities. We can consider the things that we enjoy. We can consider the things that we run after. Is there room to ask that question of us? Do you hate the church? Do you despise the church of the living God? Are you not living in accordance with truth? 1 John 3:14 says, We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. Because we love the brethren. So we look at our lives and we look for the evidence. Do we love the brethren? Do we love one another? If you were thinking in terms of a man having to leave and his wife being left and she has no means to care for herself, what would you want to see the church to do for such a woman? What would you want to see the church, how would you want to see the church care for such a person? Well, we think in these terms because the church is called the bride of Christ and Jesus has left the planet. Jesus has left the planet. Jesus has gone to heaven and he has left us here to care for one another, to support one another, and to protect one another. So the call for you this morning is to have unity in kindness and in truth. Have unity in kindness and in truth. 1 Corinthians 11:22. What? Do you not have houses in which to eat and drink? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? In what ways do we shame one another? We look here and it doesn't appear to be an active onslaught. It appears to be they were just ignoring them. They just were not caring for them. But when someone is ignored when they are in need, what is that? It looks here like hatred. It looks here as if someone is despising the church. We have to be careful as we think about this because the church is the bride of Christ. What can Christ's response be if we are despising his bride and not caring for her? We read in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart." I'm going to give a word of caution right now. All of us could start looking around and seeing ways. We can say, others have despised us. Others have not taken care of me. And we can have an anger or a jealousy raise up in us now as we be looking to condemn others. Let's not go that direction. Let's focus back and look at ourselves and look at our own direction. So the call in Proverbs 3:1 is, do not let kindness and truth leave you. It's a good point here. It's kindness and truth. It doesn't say, don't let kindness leave you, and leave it at that. We oftentimes think in terms, or I oftentimes speak in terms of the 11th commandment. You shall be nice. Yeah, okay. Kindness is meant to be there. But it's not kindness alone. It's truth with kindness. And it's not truth alone either. It's not just a fact shouted at someone. It's not just a principle shouted at someone. It's not just a scripture shouted at someone. But it's truth and kindness brought together. We look at the scripture and reminded how we are always pursued. If you think of Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy or loving kindness and truth will pursue me is the idea. Loving kindness and truth will be coming after me. Loving and kindness and truth will be coming upon me all the days of my life. And the scripture tells us to love as we have been loved. That kindness and truth will be coming from us to others. And the opposite is, we are looking down on the church of God. We are despising Christ's bride. We come to the next step, number two. This is cherish the personal message from God. Cherish the personal message from God. Verse 23, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you." Our brothers and sisters, the Blooms, we know they're moving and they've got stuff to put in different places. And we went over yesterday and they're giving us some artwork or loaning us some artwork to take care of for them while they're gone. We're going to put it on our walls and it should be safe. Well, Teresa, she brought out this one picture. And this picture it was a window. And she had taken all the letters, or select letters maybe, from her courtship with Nick. And she put them and displayed them inside of this window to hang up on the wall. You see their various expressions of affection. You see what they have meant to one another in this expression. We see that the messages that were given, and the messages that were received are loved and cherished. Here, Paul, moved by the Holy Spirit, he says, I received something from the Lord. I have received this. Now I have given it to you. What place in our hearts should such a message have? That Christ has spoken it. Christ has given it to his apostle. And it is now being given to us. If we look at our lives rightly and we understand our lives rightly, we know that we need this instruction. We know that we need this truth. My inclination is to be selfish. It may be your inclination as well. We are all fallen people. My inclination is to think of myself. It may be your inclination as well. Sometimes my inclination will be to run from the church or various elements of the church. Maybe that's your inclination as well. But Christ has carefully preserved a specific message for us and has brought it to us. And 2 weeks ago when we had the Lord's Supper, we had this picture given to us. Again, verse 23, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And this brings us to our third step, which is remember Jesus' sacrifice. Remember Jesus' sacrifice. We look at life and we see the stories that are brought, the stories of fiction and the stories of drama in the movies and in the books. And we look and we love stories like Pride and Prejudice, and we love to see the people rescued, and we love to see the bride swept up. We love to see the great affection, and we love to imagine something going on like that forever and ever. Well, we look here and we see a great sacrifice that has been given for the church that is his bride. This affection that he has had is meant to overflow in our lives. And he made the statement, he said, this is broken, this bread is broken, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. That this picture of the hero who has laid down his life for a bride will not be forgotten. I'm reminded of the opening of the Spider-Man movie back in probably 1990. Well, I don't remember when it was now. But it starts off with this monologue, and Spider-Man's telling his story, and he said, "This story, like all stories worth being told, is about a girl." Well, we look at the scripture, and we see that there is a girl in it. We see that there is a bride. It's not all about her, though, is it? But it is about the groom. It is about the king. It is about the prince who has come and has rescued the bride. But this puts us in the place where we are to look at the sacrifice which has taken place. And it says, which is for you. The things that we do in the Lord's Supper, we do this in remembrance of Christ. We look and see. And why does he say this? Why does he say, do this in remembrance of me? It's actually an embarrassing answer for us. The embarrassing answer is because we would forget. We would forget that Jesus laid down his life for us. And we would forget that we are called to love and lay down our lives in the same way. So this brings us now to the fourth step. Keep God's covenant love and mind. Keep God's covenant love in mind. Verse 25. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." This idea of the covenant. This covenant is that agreement. Last Lord's Day, we talked about the idea people in our culture are constantly making up ideas and making up covenants and making up agreements with God, saying, "God, if you get me out of this, I will do this," or, "God, I will be good if you do this, and they or we bring such an arrangement to God. But we looked at the idea of the covenant. And as God comes and as God speaks, we never look into Scripture and see God come down and sit down and say, so, what are your ideas for a covenant? How do you think we ought to handle it? Jesus, when he sat down, even at the Sermon on the Mount, said, so, what do you guys think? He didn't do that. When he went to the Sadducees and the Pharisees, he never said, hey, let's come up with an arrangement. Let's come up with an agreement. Even parties, you and me, what do you think? He has never come in that way. He has never spoken in that way. Moreover, we look in the older covenant when he came down to give the Ten Commandments. He came down with fire and smoke, and the whole mountain shook, and the people trembled. They cried out. They backed away from his presence because it was too awesome when he spoke the law. He has come. He has come, and he has come again and again, and he has spoken, and he has said, this is the arrangement. This is the arrangement. He has come and he has said, trust in my son, repent and obey, love me, follow me. This is the arrangement. And he has told us the good works by which we are saved are believing in his son. So this arrangement, and though he has come with fire and smoke, though he will do so again, though he lays out an agreement and hasn't consulted with us, we see that that is loving kindness, and that is truth. That is precisely what we need. Now, why is that important that it was his deal? Why is it important that it's his arrangement? Because as messed up as we are, as sinful as we can't blow it. You can't break the covenant. He holds your hand. You do not hold his. He has rescued you and he will never let you go. Jesus said, and I will not lose one of those that he has given me. This is good news. This is rescue. This is his covenant love in which we live. Goodness and mercy, goodness and loving kindness and truth will pursue us all of the days of our lives. It's even spoken of in these terms in Colossians 3:13. For he rescued us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. So people living in this place, a holy nation, the people who are calling on Christ, we will be in the place to remember his covenant love and to display this covenant love with one another. Now, how hard is this? How hard is this? We are an itty-bitty denomination. And we have our fights. We are an itty-bitty church and we have our tensions. You and your household, you live in an itty-bitty house. And you have your tensions, and you have your frustrations, and we look and we see and we know that it will be the reality. We will have our disagreements. We will have our tensions. Does that undo God's covenant, though? Can that undo your rescue? Can that undo your relationship with him? If not, that means it can't break his household. There's some good news and some bad news attached to this. Bad news, you're stuck with me. I'm your brother. And it can't be broken. Good news, none of us will be thrown off. As long as we are loving Christ Jesus, none of us will be thrown off. As long as we are calling on him and living within his covenant. So this brings us to our fifth step. From verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. This is the call for you to announce the covenant. To announce the covenant. we look at our lives and we have opportunity to announce the covenant. Those of us who have parented, we have had lots of opportunity to announce the covenant. When we have disciplined our children, we have had the opportunities to announce the covenant. It was a strange thing one day when I was watching some of the children from the church, and I was coming to a child and I was going to admonish him and explain the situation and what he had done. And I asked him, "Do you know what you've done?" And he looked at me and blinked and said, "Wickedness." He's like, "All right, maybe you do. Maybe you do know what you have done." In such a situation, when we are confronted with wickedness, we have an opportunity to announce the covenant. And also in your own heart, when you find yourself being disciplined by the Lord, and this idea keeps coming up and keeps coming up and keeps coming up this week, the idea of being disciplined by the Lord, things removed or things taken, the consequences of our sin. And that's the most obvious way we'll see it, I think, in this life. The consequences of our sin, seeing where we have gone astray and where the damage is still playing out in our lives. We have the opportunity to announce the covenant in our own lives, that if we are following Him, if we are calling on Him, we are still His, we are still rescued, we are still blessed, we are still cared for. In our dealings with one another, we announce the covenant love, and we are gracious when we show His loving kindness, His covenant faithfulness, when we announce it and we welcome one another back with open arms, accompanied with truth. 1 Peter 2:9 gives it to us in these terms. "But you are a chosen race." And that idea of race for the Jewish people, that means you're in the family. You're in the family. You are one of us. You were outside, now you are inside. But you are a chosen race, and I'm going to say you are a chosen family. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. There's something bigger and beyond ourselves that's growing to fill the entire world. A people for God's own possession. What for? What for? So that we can think about ourselves? No. So that we can despise the church? No. So that you'll be comfortable now? Definitely not. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. What has been accomplished in the covenant, in His blood. You've been called out of darkness into His marvelous light. So what does this mean for us? How does this change the ways that we think about our lives, the ways that we think about our purposes? We look at this world and we laugh at the millennials, the people, the children from this past generation. They have videos on YouTube about the millennials and how they only think about themselves. Well, I'm afraid so much of that, the videos aren't made about us just because we've learned to be more polite. Or we've learned to hide it. We've masked ourselves, or we've isolated ourselves from others so that they cannot see how messed up and how selfish we really are. Well, the pattern and the picture has been given in the scripture. If we return to Psalm 23 and thought in those terms of the Good Shepherd, and as Jesus described Himself as that Good Shepherd who has laid down His life for the sheep. That Good Shepherd who has spoken to us and has said, "As I have loved you, so you are to love one another." This is the context in which we live. This is the place of our calling. Now, it would be very easy for most of us to shrug and say, Fine sermon again on love, Pastor. The question will be, what difference will it make? Any? Any at all? Is there a choice that you have made that you need to repent of? Is there a choice that you're in the midst of that this should impact? Will this direct our steps in accordance with kindness and in accordance with truth? This message was delivered by the Lord and now has been given to you. Take it, apply it, hold to loving kindness and truth. Announce it, live it as you love one another. Pray with me. Our Lord, you have done such great and awesome things. You have accomplished such an amazing salvation on our behalf. You have arranged and executed so great a covenant. And you have called us and you have placed us in the midst of it. And now may we live as your covenant people, living out kindness and truth because of who you are and because of what you have done and because of who we are now, your chosen people, your holy nation in Christ Jesus. It is in his name that we pray. Amen.